This is Judith Lay welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. Today we have the story of a journey. The journey of an 11-year-old who went from being a turban-wearing Sikh boy to becoming a respected figure on the world stage, challenging injustice, pursuing peace and reconciliation, promoting interfaith dialogue, and working tirelessly for understanding and welcome for all who seek shelter. He is Reverend Dr. Inderjit Singh Bogle, and we'll meet him after our opening music. And given the themes that I've just mentioned, it seems appropriate to choose the song of Kingdom Come.
I have a voice, you have a voice, we have a voice, and when we sing together, a line is drawn, and hope reborn. This is the song of Kingdom Come.
I have a voice, you have a voice, we have a voice. When we sing together, a line is drawn, and hope reborn. This is the song of Kingdom Come. We heard the cries of distant neighbors, the dispossessed, the refugee, and God's command to feed the hungry and set them free, and set them free. We heard the word, the new commandment, and we reclaimed the prophet's call. Love the world without condition. God's love for all. God's love for all. I have a voice. You have a voice. We have a voice. When we sing together, the line is drawn, and hope reborn. This is the song. Song of Kingdom Come.
A reckless love that knows no borders, that speaks the truth to those in power, that shines a light on cool indifference. This is God's hour. This is God's hour. When we will stand against injustice, all who live against the grain, until their poverty is over, and love shall reign, and love shall reign.
I have a voice, you have a voice, we have a voice. When we sing together, the line is drawn. Song of Kingdom Come. We won't stand by while sisters suffer, nor turn blind eyes to ruthless wrong. Our song of praise will be compassion. This kingdom song, this kingdom song, the song of love and liberation, lasting peace, a taste of life in all its fullness. God's masterpiece, God's masterpiece.
I have a voice, you have a voice, we have a voice. When we sing together,
a line is drawn, and hope reborn. This is the song, song of Kingdom Come.
The Song of Kingdom Come, written by Martin John Nichols and Paul Field, with words that sum up so much that's close to the heart of my special guest today. Reverend Dr. Inderjeet Singh Bogle, who I first met and interviewed exactly 25 years ago when he made church history by being the first person from an ethnic minority background to be elected president of conference in the Methodist Church. And it was in that capacity that he visited the island a quarter of a century ago. He made a return visit recently with his wife, Kathy, to give a couple of talks and explore the island for a few days. And even though he was technically on holiday here, he very kindly spared me some time to record this conversation. Inderjeet, Moramai, and after 25 years, welcome back.
Moramai, it's a pleasure to speak with you. And what a good memory you have to remember. I was there 25 years ago. Brilliant.
Inderjeet, I never forget a special guest. Now, I'm very keen to learn about the issues that have really defined your adult life. But I'd like you first to take us back to your early years, to your family life, your background, please.
My parents are originally from Punjab. During Independence Days and Partition 1947, there was a great upheaval of people crossing the border, the new border between India and Pakistan. Well, they witnessed considerable atrocity as young teenagers, and their parents will have said to them, get away from here and find somewhere safe. They went to Africa. I was born in Nairobi in Kenya. And then Kenya became independent in 1964 when I was 11, and we had to then leave Kenya as well. And like a lot of people do who are displaced, they just went next door. They went to Tanzania, Tanganyika as it was then. And we were there for 9 months and then we came to the UK and we moved to the Midlands to live in Dudley. In all my life up till that point, I'd been living almost in a Sikh temple because my family are Sikhs. All of them, and the temple was my playground. It's where I learnt much and was steeped in the Sikh faith. When we came to live in the Midlands, there were only 2 Sikh temples in the whole of the UK then, and I wanted to go to the nearest place of worship, as I always had done. In Dudley, the nearest place of worship to me was a Methodist church. Now, at school, one of my contemporaries was Lenny Henry, by the way. I was at the same school as him. He talks about the kind of racist behavior we all experience as young people with the darker skin. And school was not a good experience from my fellow pupils. But I went to this chapel, and at the door was a gentleman who greeted me very warmly. "Welcome, young man," he said. "It's lovely to see you. Come on in, have a seat here, and I'll come and sit with you in a few minutes." And I thought, well, that was a bit different because, you know, I was 11. And it didn't matter what age you are. We all want to be treated with respect and dignity. You know, we're all familiar with that. You go on holidays, if you're a stranger in a new place, it's good to be treated well. And that started it for me. And here I am, as a result, 60 years later, with all the history that I bring. And the concept of welcome is really important to me.
I can absolutely understand that. So your faith must have been, in that 11-year-old boy, that faith must have been very strong indeed.
Well, I'd been steeped in faith, as I said. It was a Sikh faith. I sit here as a Methodist minister now. It didn't mean I've given up on all the learning I received within Sikhism. The values of the Sikh faith, which are about hard work and honouring God and living with generosity, treating people with respect. I mean, I didn't put all that away in my life within the church. It's just that I found direction for my life in Christ and in his teaching. And in particular, what I've liked about Jesus's teaching and way of life was he always gave priority to people who others were rejecting, those on the margins of his society. And he kept an open table and he ate with everyone who would eat with him. But he especially welcomed those that nobody else would be welcoming. So that was his style. And that's what I try to model myself on.
So that 11-year-old boy in the Methodist Church, surviving school, what happened next?
Well, I started to read the New Testament and I got drawn into the story of Christ and what it was that captivated me about him. And so a lot of people started to ask me exactly your question, to say, you know, what's drawn you to Christ then? And as I began to speak about it, some people thought, well, you should be a preacher. And then in the Methodist Church, there's this peculiar terminology which says, I was given a note. I had a note from the president of the Methodist Church to say that I can train to be a preacher. So I took that journey and I became a lay preacher. And then I went for some training and education and went on a course, and people said to me, you should be a minister. And it was not what I felt particularly I wanted to do with my life. I was heading in the direction of being a lawyer. But I thought, I'll give it a check. I offered myself to train for the Methodist ministry, and I was accepted. And so here I am.
Now, right from those early days of being ordained, interfaith relations have always been important to you. And obviously, all the things you've mentioned, seeing the values of Christ, putting those also side by side, that's been very much the trademark of your ministry, hasn't it?
Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself. And when he said that, he was actually grounding himself in his own tradition, which was about caring for those who are in great need. So my neighbours include people of all religions. And I've grown up in Sikh faith, and I've always kept in touch with the Sikh faith. So all along, I've felt that it's important for all of us to engage with different people, different religions, with respect. My father gave me four words by which I've been guided: respect and be respected. Treat everyone with respect, whether you're a person of faith or not. You know, people who don't particularly express any religious tradition, all of us, to live in our world today with difference. I think the biggest challenge, I know global warming is, you know, sometimes people say is the biggest challenge that faces us. I would say the biggest challenge that faces humanity now is to learn to live with those who are different from you. If we can do that, then we can together tackle more effectively causes like global warming, poverty, inequality, and looking at what it means to build a world of peace for everyone. So it's absolutely critical today. Ease of travel has brought people of different religions to be neighbours together. Here on the Isle of Man, wherever we are, we live in a multi-faith world. I would encourage everyone, wherever you are, to grow in respect for those who are different, especially those of a different religion, and you will be an enriched person. And there's a bit of a fear of somebody who's different. I understand that, but actually, the more you get to know people, however different they are, the more you will discover similarities, and that we're all human beings at the end of the day. One of the causes of fear, particularly in people of faith, let's say Christian faith, is that they might water down or dilute their religion by engaging with somebody of another faith. But actually, I would say that you will find you deepen your faith, not dilute it, and that you grow in your faith. We need all the wisdom of all the faiths and all the disciplines, all the ideologies, to understand the greatness of Christ. So, you know, go and talk to somebody of another faith and say, give me your understanding of faith. You know, what's your understanding of God? You may not agree with what people say, but at least it'll make you think about your own faith, and it will deepen and enrich and broaden your faith and your understanding of God and Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in the world.
Love is flowing like a river, flowing out through you and me, spreading out.
My special guest this morning is Reverend Dr. Indrajit Singh Bogle, a theologian, a Methodist minister, and a passionate campaigner for peace and reconciliation, and for offering welcome to the stranger. During the course of his ministry, he's been the leader of the Corrymeela community, the peace movement based in County Antrim, and he's been president of the Methodist Peace Fellowship. He's also worked hard to promote interfaith relations and established a movement that, Indrajit, I'm hoping you can tell us more about, and that's the City of Sanctuary.
Well, I've lived in Sheffield since 1987, and very quickly I became aware that it's obviously a multicultural city and there are many people there from different parts of the world, and there are many organisations working particularly with refugees from around the world. And one day I convened a meeting of all the organizations to just say, tell us a bit about your work. And there was some amazing work going on in my city to provide welcome and hospitality for refugees. And then I stood up and said, look, you're all doing great work, but if we work together and collaborate, we could make a bigger impact in our city. We could really build here a culture of welcome and hospitality and safety, a city we would be proud to live in, or I would be proud to live in. And we all agreed that this is what we wanted to do and that we would encourage others to do this. And we signed a pledge to make this commitment. And we said, let's get others to make this commitment. And if we could get about 100 organizations in our city to say that's the kind of city we want to live in, we could then go to our local government and say, you are our elected representatives, you know, and this is the kind of city we want to live in. Will you support us? And if they said yes, we would be declared a city of sanctuary. Now, city of sanctuary is not a modern concept. It's an ancient idea rooted in Hebrew traditions, going back to the days of Joshua, thousands of years. As children of Israel went through the wilderness and began to fall out with each other, they came up with the rule, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But there were those who wanted to use greater force against somebody, you know. So they came up with this principle, which is really a principle of proportionality. Don't use more force than is used against you. So God said to Moses, set up cities of refuge so that if somebody has committed a crime inadvertently, and while their case is being processed, they should be safe. They should be able to go to these cities. And so 6 cities of refuge were set up so that people could be safe while their case was processed. So I said a city of sanctuary would be a place where refugees, asylum seekers, while their case is being processed, they will be safe. This is not about saying, let's open the doors to everyone. This is not an immigration policy, but it's a policy that says we will treat with respect those who are already here, and we will ensure that they have welcome and that they are safe while their case is processed. And that began the City of Sanctuary movement. There are now over 100 cities, towns, villages, areas, boroughs around Britain and Ireland, and even people here on the Isle of Man beginning to look at how we can use the values of City of Sanctuary, of welcome and hospitality and safety. The shameful fact of our world today is that there are 120 million people who have lost the protection of their country. They're displaced because of war and violence. And the vast majority of that 120 million are trapped in their own countries. They can't get out. Like people in Gaza, for example, that we've seen regularly in the news. And some people do who manage to get out, they go next door, like my family when we went to Tanzania. You know, people from Myanmar go to Bangladesh, people from Sudan go to Egypt, people from Afghanistan go to Pakistan. Some refugees manage to go a bit further. They come into Europe. A very, very small proportion actually make their way across the channel to the UK. And so the governments, it seems to me, at the moment are struggling to handle the situation. So the whole thing about small boats across the English Channel, you know, the best thing I think the governments can come up with is we must stop the boats. Now, scripturally, for me, I've talked about the call to love your neighbour. But, you know, something like 40 times, the most repeated ethical command that is stated around 40 times in the Bible, you shall also love the stranger as yourself, not only the neighbour. A neighbour is somebody who looks a bit like you, but a stranger is somebody who's completely different, somebody from a completely different nationality, ethnicity, skin colour, faith. And how do we love those who are strangers? Love the stranger as yourself. That's the challenge for the world today. As I say, it's the biggest challenge. And so while governments struggle to respond to what's happening, movements like City of Sanctuary, which are grassroots, street-led movements, are showing a way forward. So what we're saying is challenge hostility with hospitality. Those are my four words, my mantra, which I emphasize. We're all capable of doing that. We can all treat each other as human beings. We can all provide hospitality. We can all challenge hatred. And you do that when you challenge inhumanity. So one of the issues is around asylum seekers being placed in hotels, you know. And maybe that's the thing that a lot of people dislike the most. Well, the origin of City of Sanctuary, as I said, is in God's requirement that people who are in the process of having their case looked at, they should be safe while their case is processed. So I think people who apply for asylum, the challenge today for all of us is to work together to ensure they are safe while their case is processed. Whatever our politics, they're here, they've applied, they should be safe while their case is processed. And then we see what happens beyond that. So there are universities of sanctuary, schools of sanctuary, all organizations doing what they can within this situation to provide welcome and hospitality and safety. And churches can do this as well. Be a church of sanctuary. In the Promenade Methodist Church, I learned about amazing work they're doing. Cafe Lingo, which is about helping people who've come to live here from another country to learn the local language, English as well as Manx. And I'm impressed with what I've seen. So I would say to every church, you can be a church of sanctuary.
Indigit, you have an award that gives you a similarity with people like Nelson Mandela. Tell me a bit about that, please.
There's an award called the World Methodist Peace Award, which is given annually by a World Methodist organization. And I'm a recipient of that award. It's a great honor and a privilege to be listed among the kind of people who have received this award. And it is given to people who courageously and consistently and at local, national and international level are doing what they can to build a more peaceful world. They've looked at the work of City of Sanctuary, which I've initiated, and see that as a real contribution at local community level to build peace and a better world for everyone. To receive an award like that is to just see that there are people who value what you do. So that's an encouragement to keep up the good work, as it were. I'm currently working with churches together in Britain and Ireland to promote and develop the idea of Church of Sanctuary. So City of Sanctuary has a life of its own, and it's amazing to see it develop in the way it is. We've just celebrated 20 years since its initiation. And I'm now putting my passion into getting churches to think about being churches of sanctuary. So you can look at that as a congregation. There's a really wonderful website on the Churches Together in Britain and Ireland website to get more resources. And I've put together a little booklet, Hospitality and Sanctuary for All, which is also available from Churches Together in Britain and Ireland. It's a kind of a study guide and guidebook to congregations to explore what it means to be a church of sanctuary.
There is a lovely expression in the Methodist Church that when a minister retires, that they sit down. I don't think you'll ever sit down, will you, Inderjeet?
I do like to sit down. Actually, I was sitting down yesterday at the Sound, just south of Port Erin, watching the seals, and it was a lovely baby seal. For about an hour, it entertained me and wife as we sat there. It's actually a delight to do that. But there isn't a word which is called retirement in the Methodist Church. It's called a permission to sit down. It literally means you're not accountable to anybody now within the Methodist authorities, but it doesn't mean you're not working anymore. You never stop being a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I've now got time to take on work which is centered on my passion, which is Church of Sanctuary.
Thank you to my special guest today, Reverend Dr. Inderjeet Singh Bogle. I'm sure you'll agree he's given us a lot to think about in that conversation. And now let's finish with a look at our notice board, and we start with a reminder about the beach missions in Peel and Port St. Mary. And tomorrow they both start 2 weeks of daily sessions of fun, games and interactive Bible stories. Everything that the beach missions offer is open to all young people, and as you might imagine, Facebook is a great way to find out what's happening at both missions every day. Go to facebook.com and search either for Peel Beach Mission or Port St. Mary Beach Mission. And Port St. Mary Beach Mission have a very useful website too. It's psmbm.im. And Malmore on the promenade in Port St. Mary is, as always, the Beach Mission headquarters. And St. Michael's Week started yesterday with around 20 events taking place over the next week, all based in or close to Kirkmackled, Mackled Parish Church. From teas to talks, walks to worship, there really is something for everyone to celebrate and learn about the island's patron saint. Look out for the flyers that are circulating all around the island, or take a look at Kirkmackled on Facebook, where you'll find the whole programme described in detail. Go to facebook.com/Kirkmackled. And now let's see what else is on the notice board, beginning today, Sunday the 27th. This afternoon, Dr. Peter Littman, Director of Music at the Cathedral, will give an organ recital in St. Matthew's Church here in Douglas. It starts at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Admission is free, and St. Matthew's Church is on the corner of Ridgeway Street and the Quayside. On to the week ahead and to another Douglas church, St. Thomas's, off the promenade near the Gaiety Theatre. Their summer concert this Wednesday evening will be given by the talented trio of Simon Fletcher, Jenny Derbyshire and Gareth Moore. Wednesday evening at 7:45 with free admission, delicious homemade cakes afterwards and a retiring collection if you'd like to donate. Also on Wednesday evening, there's another Summer Songs of Praise in the beautiful setting of St. Adamnan's, Lonnon Old Church. That's on Wednesday at 7:30, and it'll be led by the Very Reverend John Mann. This is the last Thursday of the month, which means it's time for tea at 3 at Balligary Chapel in St. Mark's. A sumptuous afternoon tea will be served in the Sun Lounge this Thursday at 3 o'clock. All are welcome. There's no need to book for tea at 3. Just come along to Balligary Chapel and enjoy. On Thursday evening, this week's concert in St. Catherine's Church in Port Erin will be given by Lon Vane Ladies' Choir, conducted by Christine Bragazzi. It starts at 7:30 with free admission and a retiring collection. Looking ahead to next Sunday, August the 3rd, afternoon tea will be served in the lovely setting of Old Kirkbraddon. That's next Sunday, the 3rd, between 2:30 and 4 p.m. And Joy in Simplicity is the title of a simple evening service next Sunday, the 3rd of August, in St. Mark's Parish Church.
It's at 6:30 and will be led by Reverend Ruth Walker, with music from the ensemble Briarfield Brass and regular organist John Elliott. Favourite hymns and a warm welcome for all. And that's all we've time for now. And unusually, I won't be back tonight at 9 o'clock with Sundown, because I'm taking a little break. But Simon Clark will be waiting for you at the virtual lounge door, and I know he'll be glad of your company for some late night listening. But I will be at your service again next Sunday morning at 9:30, and I'd love you to join me if you can. And so, until whenever we meet again, this is Judith saying thank you for listening and wishing you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.